The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be afraid, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Creator, from Jesus our Savior, and from the Holy Spirit who seals our faith. Amen. As some of you may have seen yesterday on Facebook, I posted, "I will give you cookies and a really nice thank you note if you preach for me tomorrow." You should know the passage is about the apocalypse. My only taker was a pastor friend in Wisconsin who said, "If you preach for me, I'll preach for you," and that didn't seem realistic, so here we are. When I first read the scripture readings for today, as John Matthias well knows, I ran full speed away from our gospel reading and straight into the loving arms of our Isaiah passage. "No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in Jerusalem or the cry of distress. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together." It's like a warm biblical blanket. "The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind," the passage says. How nice. Let's just forget about the past year and a half when we've all seen each other as only wolves or lambs, donkeys or elephants. Let's just pretend like it never happened. But it all did happen. We're a nation deeply divided. Suddenly, the donkeys and elephants have to feed together again, and we've forgotten how. For many, the results of Tuesday's elections will usher in long-awaited change in Washington. For others, the results dashed hopes. Some Americans celebrate while others mourn. Today, we gather as the church, as donkeys and elephants, but more importantly and ultimately, as children of God, united in the body and blood of Jesus Christ. Our gospel reading does not take a big leap to understand. For many Americans, it may feel like the temple really has fallen. Also, for many, the image of a perfectly United States of America has fallen. Not one stone has been left upon another. We now stand in a country perhaps more fractured than it was during the vitriolic election season. We stand in a season when the word vitriolic became commonplace. Families have arisen against families, siblings against siblings, children against parents. Not one stone. The whole Gospel of Luke centers around the temple. It begins there with the presentation of the infant Jesus and then the teacher boy Jesus 12 years later. In the gap years of Jesus' life, that is the years the Gospels don't mention, we can assume Jesus goes to the temple every year as faithful Jews would have done. The story will end in the temple when the curtain will tear in two after Jesus' last breath on the cross. The temple bookends the story of Jesus. It's important. It is more than a place or a setting. The temple is a character in the larger narrative. Any listener to Luke's story would have known this. Luke's story was written in about the year 100, which was 30 years after the temple had fallen. So this means that upon hearing the story, Luke's audience would have known full well that the temple was already gone. No stones remained. The story was not just talking about future gloom and doom. The story was a history and a present. It told of a catastrophe that was over and done and a grief that remained. The character of the temple had died. The story is categorized as an apocalyptic text, of course, meaning it conveys some sort of end times-like prediction. The function of apocalyptic texts in the Bible is often to give a picture of the types of calamities during which the believers will need to cling to faith in God. Many biblical scholars hold that apocalyptic texts are not so much prescriptive as they are descriptive, meaning the stories aren't exclusively saying this will happen, but rather this is what is happening right now. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from heaven. It's not a huge leap to see this as descriptive. Citizens will rise against citizens. Hate crimes will abound. Post-election protests will turn violent. Students will discover swastikas and whites only written on their bathroom stalls. The days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. Not one stone. We need look no further than the news or maybe even conversations with our own family members. The temple has fallen, the temple will fall, and the temple is falling. But the text says, this will give you an opportunity to testify. Lest we forget, apocalyptic texts do not leave us with gloom and doom. They remind us not just of what might be, but of what is, and most of all, of who is and who will be. They remind us that God is with us even when the stones are falling and after the stones are completely gone. God is with the victims of hate crimes and with all who are oppressed. God is with people who have felt unheard and unseen by the government for decades. God is with us when we celebrate and when we grieve. God is with students and LGBT folks who feel afraid. As Lutherans, we are theologians of the cross. We call a thing what it is. Death is death, fear is fear, and grief is grief. And we say that God meets us there, even and especially in death, fear, and grief. This will be an opportunity to testify. Of course, now I have to say the obligatory joke about how Lutherans don't give testimonials. But let's get over it. This is too important. Let's get over it and start speaking. Martin Luther believed God to be an active God who works primarily in two ways for two different goals. On the one hand, God is active through the Word of God and in the church to meet our spiritual needs. In the Word and the church, we learn the gift of God's grace through Jesus Christ. Here we receive God's forgiveness and can rest assured that we are eternally loved by God. And we leave this place continuing to stand in love with God and with one another. On the other hand, Luther said God is active through the temporal or physical realm to meet our immediate needs. This physical realm includes the family and the government. We are cared for locally through the family, Luther said, and societally through the government. And it's part of the Christian's responsibility to make sure the government is doing its job in caring for its people, particularly the most vulnerable. In the year 1524, Luther wrote a treatise to city councils in Germany, urging them to support public education. He reminded the council members of their commitments to the people of the city, and he said, quote, "They would be remiss in their duty before God and people if they did not seek its welfare and improvement day and night with all the means at their command." We gather as God's people knowing we hold diverse political opinions and convictions. We represent supporters of different candidates with different policy preferences. But we gather in Jesus' name, celebrating our one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. A God who is with us in jubilation and in fear, in celebration and in mourning. We also represent a Christian tradition that does not shy away from the public square, but speaks out to keep governments accountable, to care for God's children. Of course, we have different understandings of how government should go about this care, and that is okay. It makes our communities of faith more diverse and our conversations more interesting. But we are surely called to make sure our government fulfills its responsibility to care for its people. We are a people who help pick up the stones when they fall. This will give us an opportunity to testify. So it's time for us to write our own treatises, literally and metaphorically. There are many opportunities to testify to the God who unites us and calls us forward in love. Consider writing letters to our elected officials, congratulate them on their election, tell them you're praying for them, and assure them you will be holding them accountable to their responsibilities for caring for all persons, especially the most vulnerable. Thank these leaders for their courage to represent you in Pierre or in Washington, and then actually pray for them. In the gathering space, there are slips of paper with their addresses, and I invite you to take one home. And here, closer to home, let's help pick up the stones when they fall. Let's speak with love and grace to those with whom we disagree. Let's thank veterans who've served our great nation with courage and humility. Let's love our neighbors who are weeping or afraid. Let's remember together that we are bound and loved by a God who is not bound to the temple. Because when the stones fell, God and God's love did not. This will give us an opportunity to testify. Thanks be to God. Amen.